Before I get into the sermon today, there's one thing I want to set out for you. Probably starting in sometime in October, I'm going to start teaching some discipleship classes, and I'm looking for two or three people that want to help me get discipleship classes here at the church started. This is not just a small group. I'm looking for some people that have a deep commitment and are willing to do follow-up groups once you're trained. So I'm asking people now to be in prayer for this. I'm going to limit the number of people to it because I realize I can only do so much as far as helping folks. So if you're interested in it, please let me know. Please be in prayer about it. God may be calling you to this. God may be calling you to this. You may be saying, oh, I want to, but I'm not sure I can. Come and talk with me about it. Come and talk with me about it. I will be doing some discipleship topics and whatnot on the fourth Wednesday nights of the month, on Wednesday nights after we finish with the Baptist Faith and Message. So I'm still going to be putting that information out there, but I need some folks that are willing to go much deeper. Because if everybody that's here today could lead one person to Christ over the next year and get that person involved in church, our attendance would double. Our attendance would double, and that's a doable thing. That is a very doable thing. We may have to make some different choices than what we make now, but it's a very doable thing. And that's what I'm looking for, and I want to reproduce this in the church so that a year down the road, we have twice the number of people here, and 2 years down the road, we have four times the number of people here. This is what God calls us to. This is what God calls us to, each and every person. So please be in prayer about that. The second thing that I want to say is Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. And to those of you that did not have the opportunity to be a mother, you have been a mother, a mentor to others in deep and wonderful ways. Celebrate that fact. You have been a mother to others in deep and wonderful ways. And I want to acknowledge you too, even if you did not have biological children or adopted children, that you have reached out in ways to help folks. So don't let Mother's Day be a down day for you because you didn't have children. Think about those that you helped along the way, because in my opinion, you are just as important in some ways, if not more, because you made a concerted effort to reach out and help somebody. So thank you. Today we're going to be looking at from the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter. The 10th chapter is all about being sheep and about a good shepherd. But we've got a piece here that I want to talk about in hearing the voice of God, but I'm going to go a little bit deeper than that. Listen to these words first. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you do not believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. In some ways, this is an appropriate topic to be talking about on Mother's Day, because I can think back to how many times my mother always asked me, "Did you listen to what I said? Did you hear me when I talk? Do you know what I just said to you?" As I look around, I see some mothers laughing. I see some smiling. And I see some going, "Oh no, don't go there again." You see, it's important in our society, because we have become people that, I'm going to say, only hear, and we don't listen. And in a minute, I'm going to talk about that. But think about it for a minute. I know many people that tell me, "Well, I can't do anything around the house unless I've got something playing in the background making noise. There's got to be some music on. There's got to be a TV on." And everywhere we go, we are bombarded by messages. We are bombarded by messages. And they have studied this to the nth degree. Do you know why commercials come every 7.5 minutes? Go home and time it. Do you know why commercials come every 7.5 minutes? Annoyance. Thank you. That's a good answer, but not the appropriate right answer psychologically. Our attention spans are normally not much longer than 7.5 minutes. And they throw a commercial in there to kind of break it up and then come back. They are an annoyance. I agree with you, Chris. They are an annoyance. But you see, our attention spans are so short nowadays. So short. And it has something to do with, we're not willing to listen. I would encourage you, try this out later today or tomorrow or even at lunchtime as you go out to lunch with folks. How many times do you already have your response ready before they finish talking? That may be hearing, but it's not listening. Because you see, there's a difference. There is a difference. Jesus says those of his flock can listen, not just hear his words. They can listen, not just hear his words. And let me draw out the distinction between these two for me. I got Jonathan up there. Jonathan's going to be looking up in the dictionary, I know, at some point in time, because Jonathan keeps me on my toes when it comes to definitions of words. So this is kind of my definition, because as I looked up the definition for both of these words, you can get the similar definition depending upon which dictionary you use. But for me, when you hear, there's a good potential that it goes in one ear and out the other. You hear it, okay? Many of you probably heard the birds singing this morning. But I'm also willing to say many of you didn't even recognize that. You heard it, but you didn't. It just kind of went in and right back out. You were focused on something else. For me, listening involves taking those words into me, dealing with them, and finding out, how do I use them in my life? How do they help me in my life? So that when I'm having a conversation with somebody, I really need to listen to what they have to say. Not just hear. I need to listen. And Jesus says that my sheep, those of my flock, can listen. They can listen. They can take those words in and they can deal with them in a much deeper way than just one ear in one ear and out the other. And the thing is, There's a need within all churches for people to listen better to Jesus. There is a need within all churches. I'm not going to leave a single church out of this. There is a need within all churches for people to listen better to Jesus. Jesus always is wanting to tell us where we need to go, what we need to do, how we need to act in this world, how we need to respond to people, how we need to respond to God. But yet many people are only hearing the words of Jesus, not listening. Not taking them in and allowing those words to transform you. Allowing those words to mold you and change you. That's what I'm talking about. And Jesus is talking about sheep that know how to do that. You see, one day I'm hoping that I can see it. But often in places in the world where there are sheep, there are not always fences to keep them in. And they go from one place to another. And when the shepherds stop for the night, all the sheep go into one pen. All the sheep from all the shepherds go into one pen. In the morning, one shepherd comes to the gate and calls his sheep. And his sheep are the only ones who come out of the pen. And then the next shepherd comes and calls his sheep until they're all sorted back out again. You see, this is the image that Jesus has in mind when he says, those of my flock know how to hear me, know how to listen to what I'm saying, know how to respond to that. We've got to be able to do the same thing when Jesus speaks to us. And when Jesus is speaking to me particularly, I need to perk up and I need to follow. It's not just hearing my name called. It's about listening. It's about taking that in much, much deeper. And there's a need within all churches for people who can do that. You see, some people just come to church to be at church. Some people come because that's what I was taught to do. Are you listening to what Jesus has to say to you? Are you willing to set aside anything that you thought already that Jesus wanted you to do? To really, truly listen to what Jesus says. You see, there's a big difference. There's a big difference between always doing church the way it's always been done and listening to what Jesus says. Because when we listen, when we take it in and allow it to transform us, this will help the church to be better sheep, who then follow the path Jesus blazes before us. Okay? This will help us to be better sheep, who then follow the path that Jesus blazes before us. One of the things that I did at Virginia Tech when I was there as a student was I was on the forest firefighting crew. And I'll just tell you a funny piece here for a minute. One night, right in the middle of the night, probably 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, the phone in our dorm room rings, and my roommate got to it before I did, because sometimes I can tend to be a pretty heavy sleeper. And Richard got to the phone, and all of a sudden he's yelling at me, going, hey, wake up. There's some old man on the phone for you. And the old man was one of the professors of the forestry department at Virginia Tech, one of my professors, which I hated to tell my roommate that later. And so I talked to him on the phone and wanted to know if I could come to a firefighting crew. And I said, yes, sir, I'm available. I can make it. And I hung the phone up and I jumped out of bed and started getting ready to go. And my roommate looked at me and he said, well, where are you going? And I said, there's a forest fire. And I'll never forget his next words. Can't they wait till the morning? And I was like, no, Richard, they can't wait till the morning. But here's the thing about that I want to bring to you about fighting a fire that I think relays to what Jesus is saying to us. On a firefighting crew, you normally have about 8 or 10 people on a crew. The first person is the one who blazes the trail. They normally have an axe or what was called a Pulaski, was it? Yes, which I still don't know what that is. It kind of looks like an axe. It kind of looks like something else. I don't know where the name came from, but it's for chopping leaves. It's for chopping branches down and providing a pathway. And then you've got people behind that person with rakes, with shovels, with hose. And what you do on a firefighting crew is wherever that guy goes, you go. It doesn't matter. You don't ask questions. You go where that person goes. They are cutting a path in front of you. And as you come along, you hit one lick and you take a step. You do not try to clear the path completely. You hit one lick and you take a step. There's 8 or 10 of you, and by the time it gets to the end of the line, if everybody's doing their job, there's a clear path that the fire can't jump. Hopefully. Okay? Hopefully. The biggest problem in the East is pine cones rolling down the hill over the fire break and starting the fire again on the other side of the fire lines. One lick. But you follow that person that's in front, no matter where they go. And you don't ask questions. Because they're the ones making the decision. They're the ones deciding where the best place is. And you see, here's what I want to tell you. Jesus is going before us and is blazing a path. And Jesus knows the best place to put that path. And Jesus knows how that path can come across the most people that we can influence them, one, to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and two, to step into the community of believers. You don't question Jesus where the path goes. You follow the path that's blazed. If we're really listening to what Jesus says, we're going to be able to do that. As a pastor with 23 years of experience now, I can tell you this. There's a lot of people in churches that blaze their own paths. And many times it's all for naught. It's work done in a wrong direction. It's money spent in a wrong way. It's people trying to establish a program that God's not asking the church to establish. You see, we need to notice where Jesus is going, where Jesus is walking. He's picking out the path that would be the best for us as individuals and the best for us as a church. That's why I say we need people who can listen to what Jesus is saying. Not can just tell me that, hey, this is a program that works successfully and it has in 26 other churches. And we may be the 27th church that it does not work in. Because Jesus is asking us to walk in a different way. Jesus is blazing a different path for us. And if we're not listening to what Jesus is saying to us, we'll miss the path. We will miss the path. Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. You see, I have often found Jesus asked me to walk a path that I would not design for myself. Jesus asked me to walk a path that I would not design for myself. is this the path I expected to be on at 57 years of age? No. It's not. Go back to my college days in the early 80s. The path I expected to be on right now is out in the middle of the woods, studying animal populations so that we could control them better and so that we could make sure that they thrive in the midst of our country. You see, I was accepted for graduate school at Mississippi State. And I was going to go down there and study wild turkey populations. Man, I was so excited about that. I get to go out in the woods and walk around behind turkeys. And I get to study them. Every day of my life. Gosh, I would still love to be doing that. That's the path I designed. That's the path that I wanted to go on. That's the place that I wanted to be. That's the place I still want to be. Until I walk through the woods and I scare up three or four turkeys in the middle of a rhododendron thicket, I don't want to study turkeys anymore. If you have never scared up a turkey in a rhododendron thicket, let me take you sometime. We're going to find one. Those turkeys can hit every branch in that whole thicket as they try to get away from you. And you will think, even if it's one turkey, there's about 100 of them that are getting ready to descend upon you and peck you to death. That is one of the scariest things I have ever done in my life. You see, that was the path I designed for myself. And in some ways, that's the path I'd still love to be on. Jesus had a different path for me. And as hard-headed as I am, Jesus still continued to speak to me about it. Jesus still continued to reach out to me about it. Jesus still said, "This is where I need you to be," so that even one day as I sat on a brick wall, or not a brick wall, but a stone wall, as I sat on a stone wall in Bayside Park in Virginia Beach, and I told God, "I'm not going to do it." God said, "Really? Really? You're not going to do it?" And I said, "God, all these people that I have a ministry with right now, those that I'm deacon to, those that I'm in Sunday school with, those that I'm reaching out to," and God said, "You think I can't take care of them? You're blazing the wrong path." And on that day, which was a Friday the 13th in October, by the way, for those of you that are superstitious about Friday the 13th and about October and all that stuff, 13 is one of my favorite numbers. God said, "Really?" And God showed me something that day that I drew out a picture that to this day has come right every time I turn around. What I'm talking to you about is listening to what Jesus says. Listening to what Jesus says. Because here's what I found out. It may be a path that I didn't design myself. However, when I follow as a sheep who listens, when I follow as a sheep who listens, the blessings are immeasurable. Immeasurable, folks. I cannot, we don't have time for me to share all the blessings that Deanne and I have experienced because we follow the path that Jesus has blazed. Because we're walking behind Jesus, doing a little piece here and a little piece there. We're not trying to accomplish the whole job, but we're following the path that Jesus has blazed for us. The blessings are immeasurable. Incredible, awesome, wonderful. They go over the top. It's not the path I've designed. But it has been incredible. And you see, what we need is we need some people who can listen to what Jesus is saying. Listen. Take it in. Use it. Let it transform you. And then follow the path that Jesus is blazing. That's what we need. That's what will revitalize us. That's what will revitalize the church. That's what will make us dynamic in the midst of this community, if we will just listen to what Jesus has to say and follow Jesus on the path that Jesus is blazing. It'll be phenomenal. I can attest that to you through 23 years of ministry. Deanne will also. It's incredible. It is absolutely incredible. We spent 8, 9 years, 10 years maybe vacationing in the mountains of North Carolina, telling God, gosh, God, we want to be there someday. That's where we want to be the rest of our life. And now we're in the mountains. Totally unexpected. Totally unexpected. This is not the path that we were laying out in front of us when I started looking for a new ministry position. This is not the path. But the blessings have been innumerable in the almost 3 years since I've been here. In the almost 4 years since I knew the pastor search team, it has been incredible. It has been phenomenal. Because I'll tell you the truth, what we were trying to do was move closer to the Chesapeake Bay, where I grew up. And at the time, that's where Deanne's parents were, and they're in their early 80s, and we wanted to move closer to them so that we could help them out when the day and time came. And God said, no, I got a different idea for you. Got a different idea. I'm blazing a different path for you. Are you ready to follow it? Are you ready to let it transform you? Are you ready? So I'm going to leave you with this question to think about. Are you willing to pause, listen, and then follow Jesus in a way like never before? You got to pause first. Are you willing to pause? Are you willing to listen and take it in and then follow Jesus like you never have before? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you because so often in our own ways, we can design some wonderful things. We can look and see what others are doing and say, hey, that's been successful for them. That's what we need to copy. But the truth is, Lord, you're asking each and every church to be about what you want them to be about. You're asking each and every Christian to be about what you want them to be about. And because this world is so big and it goes in so many different directions, it really is easy to understand that there may be things that you want different people to do to cover so many different avenues in this world. So, Lord, we fall down before you and we ask that you would help us to do much more than just hear the words, but that you would help us to listen, and that those words would come into us in a way that we become transformed people. People who follow you and not just follow a program. people who follow you and not just follow what's been successful somewhere else. But that we truly could be the people that you're calling us to be. Because, Lord, that will bring the most people to your kingdom when we truly live the way you want us to. So, Lord, help us to reflect upon our lives and to decide whether we're willing to pause and listen and follow the path that you blaze. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.